Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Renee. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. Thanks for joining me tonight. I have a special guest tonight. As you know, I'm big on informing all of us about different things that society seems to think we know all about, even though in some cases we do not. And, of course, the Internet makes things a lot easier to research and get information about. But even then, sometimes I talk to people who are on their own and don't really have anybody to explain certain things to them. They kind of get it, what they read and what's shown to them and the things that they get in the mail and things like that. What I'm talking about tonight is our Social Security. The fact that once we reach a certain age, and those ages are all different depending on your circumstances, sometimes you can be in your 20s and get Social Security because you've been deemed unable to work, and then you're eligible for Social Security, or different things can happen and put you in a place where Social Security becomes a part of your life and obviously a part of your income. I very soon will be 65. I've mentioned that on the show many times. And quite honestly, I never worried about Social Security. I've worked my entire life and figured when the time came, I'd figure out what I was supposed to do. Well, the more I read, the more confused I got. And luckily for us, if you are not aware of this, say you are a younger person and haven't had any need to research this or find out about it, people will start approaching you when you're close to 65. Now, I started collecting my Social Security when I was 62. That's when I retired from my job, and Social Security seemed like a good idea at the time, even though I intended to go back to work. Thank God I got my Social Security, because that just didn't happen. So then it comes time to really depend on the Medicare part of the Social Security. That's where you get confused. That's where things get, some people would tell me, oh, you don't need anything else. Medicare picks up everything, and you can get, you know, discounts at the drugstores and everything. I've heard every story that is imaginable. And most of them were different, which, of course, if you're paying any attention, tells you that they're probably all wrong. So I was approached by several different organizations and people to help me make this decision, and I was very lucky, I feel, to meet a gentleman by the name of Barry. Barry helped me understand what it was that I needed to know. And I have invited Barry tonight to talk on the show. And if you are out there, and if you are concerned about your Social Security Medicare benefits and what you get and what you don't get and how that works for you, and what's the best way to put it into action and what you need to go with it and what you don't need to go with it, he's here to answer some of those questions. And this is purely and simply information. We are not going to tell you what to do. We are going to give you some information that we hope will help you make an educated decision about something that has to be with you from now on. And I think it behooves us all to get the most out of it. That's what we've put into, and that's what we expect of it now. But you really do have to know some of the ropes, and I think that Barry can help us with that. I did want to let everybody know Shelley is not with us tonight. She ended up having to stay at work tonight, so she couldn't join us. But even she had a few questions because she is not as old as I am, but it's a few years around the corner for her. And she has questions too. So I'm going to open up the lines for Barry, and let's get the conversation going. If you would like to call in because you have a question and you're listening online or you're listening on your cell phone, the guest call-in number is 347-989-0352. And you are welcome to call in and ask us, mostly Barry, some questions and see if we can help you a little bit. Barry?
Yes, Sreeni, how are you?
I'm great. How are you? Thanks for coming on tonight. I so appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, you did send me a few things for me to look at, and of course I got things in the mail that I've been looking at right along. I'm going to ask you first, though, before we start talking about some of the little questions I have, I'd like you to tell everybody a little bit about yourself, what you're willing to share with us. I think you ought to include the fish, too, because that's interesting.
Well, I've been an avid fisherman practically all of my life, and I've been fortunate. I was certified by the International Game Fish Association several years ago as a tournament observer. So I participated in some big international fishing tournaments throughout the Caribbean and Central America and South America. And it's a lot of fun and a lot of adventure. I've been a resident of Florida since 1970. And I've been involved in the insurance business all of my working life.
Wow.
And I'm old enough that I was actually in the business before we did have Medicare.
Mm-hmm. And, wow. I don't believe you. I've met you. I don't believe you.
Well, thank you. Sometimes, you know, you mentioned getting information. I think sometimes we get too much information, and it gets to be confusing.
I agree. Well, and like I say, people try to be helpful and try to tell you what happened with them and how they worked it out, and then you're really, you know, it gets all convoluted, and you can't really sort through it as easily as one might think you can.
Well, you know, we all have a different disposition and a different attitude towards these things, and I don't know that there's any one answer that suits everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people are involved in a personal situation, and maybe they have a negative experience, or maybe it's a positive experience, but based on their own personal experience, they then give other people advice that may not be applicable to the other person. So, you know, we all like different flavors of ice cream, and we all have different favorite colors. There are certain basics that you can look at when you look at Medicare, and for the most part, you're going to divide Medicare into the hospital portion, which is Part A, the medical or doctor portion, which is Part B, and then there are two other parts, C and D. C being basically what many people call advantage plans, and D would be an option for prescription drug plans.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, can you explain before we go any further than that, when you say Part C is an option to step in for Part A and Part B, does that mean that it replaces Part A and Part B and you come up with another plan where you pay for an insurance policy?
No, that's not exactly the way it works. Part A and Part B, the hospital and doctor are what Medicare provides. That's the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS. What happens is that they've made arrangements with private companies to be the provider, not the direct provider of benefits, but the service provider. So they would be kind of an administrator for those benefits. There are many other people who will have Part A and Part B, and instead of having an Advantage plan as a service provider, will elect to have a supplemental plan, what are called Medigap plans, to pay for the gaps of Medicare and their regular commercial insurance policies that you pay for.
I see. And can you all right, so the last one that you pay, the policy that you pay for, that usually means little or no money out of pocket, right?
It means that you pay a premium, so that's an out-of-pocket expense.
Right.
And generally, those plans are designed to fill the gaps of Medicare, and there are a variety of those plans. They go from they're identified alphabetically, and they go from A to N. And what happens is that people get confused whether these A, B, C, D, F plans, they get that confused with Medicare A and B. And sometimes that's where there's too much information and too much confusion. To simplify it, let me just tell you that in the hospital, Medicare is going to cover most expenses for the first 60 days. There are little things. I don't want to do a detailed explanation of everything that Medicare does or doesn't cover. I'm just doing a general overview. And having said that, the government sends out a big thick handbook to everybody who is coming up on age 65 and qualifies for Medicare. And it's a handbook of about 140, 150 pages.
Yeah.
But it has everything in it, and I certainly would recommend that everybody take the time to go through it, even if you don't read every page, at least to inform yourself. The mm-hmm. other critical thing is that Part B of Medicare, which is for medical expenses, that has an annual deductible, and then Medicare pays 80% of what they call allowable charge. So if that's all that you had, you would be responsible for that 20% of the allowable charge, as well as anything that would be beyond the allowable charge.
Mm-hmm. So it's not true that if you call a doctor's office, because this has been said to me, I think I already mentioned this to you, that if you call a doctor's office and you say, hello, I'm on Medicare, I do not have anything else but Medicare, and I need to be seen, you know, by a doctor, do you accept Medicare? And the receptionist on the other side says, yes, we accept Medicare. Now, I was told that once a doctor says they, or a doctor's office says that they accept Medicare, then they bill Medicare, and anything that they charge you over that, you don't have to pay. Now, when I said that to you, when we spoke the first time, you said, absolutely not, that's not true, you're still responsible for that. But I've had more than one person say that that's what they believed.
Well, the doctors who accept Medicare have to charge within the Medicare schedule. But that has nothing to do with the 20%, nor does it have anything to do with physicians who don't accept Medicare or who decide that they have their own fee schedule, and there are plenty of those.
Mm-hmm.
The other issue, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Go ahead.
I was going to say the other issues are that things like dental and vision and hearing are services not covered by Medicare. Extended care or long-term care is not covered by Medicare. And custodial care is not covered by Medicare.
So if you have Medicare and you need hospice help at the
end, that's a different story. We're just touching on this gently. I'm not doing in-depth specifics. If you were in a hospital for a certain period of time, and then you needed skilled nursing care, and you went directly to a skilled nursing facility, there are benefits for that. But those benefits, again, are limited, and you have to be showing improvement. It's not custodial care.
Right.
So there are many instances where people think, well, I can go to this facility or that facility and be covered. And if they don't qualify, then they're not covered. Mm. Furthermore, if they are in a skilled nursing facility and they are not showing improvement, then Medicare discontinues payment.
Really?
So it's something.
So then what happens to them then, Barry?
They have to pay for that care themselves.
And if there are no funds whatsoever, do you have any idea what takes place then? I don't want to put you on the spot.
Well, then we have a program. There's another program called Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
And Medicaid is for people who are indigent. And if you are not indigent to begin with, trying to pay for some of this care can make you indigent.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you further qualify by having a limited income and having very limited or no resources, then you would qualify for the Medicaid benefits.
Okay, now I wonder how many people understand that. I think a lot of people think that if you are subject to a scenario like what you're talking about, that they'll just automatically be taken care of by some governmental agency, et cetera, where the truth is somebody will come and speak to you, and you have to apply for the Medicaid. Am I right about that?
Yes. And the Medicaid qualification can be a long, drawn-out process. And there have been people who try to qualify for Medicaid by giving away their assets. And, of course, there's a provision in the Medicaid that says any assets you gave away within the last 5 years are still going to be considered part of your asset base.
Really?
So that's a five-year look-back period. In other words, if you were sick tomorrow and you had $1 million, you couldn't turn around and give that $1 million to your children and then say, well, I don't have any money, so I want to be on this welfare program. That doesn't work.
Right. Well, I guess part of me is grateful for that. I wouldn't have even thought. See, not having a lot of money myself, the thought of being able to give it away and then get something for nothing doesn't even come to my mind. But I can certainly see where it would to someone's mind. So there is a five-year... Mm-hmm.
5 year look back, and the rules regarding Medicaid have become stricter and stricter. And the reason for that is that there have been a lot of people who would try to get around the law and take advantage of a program that was really designed for people truly in need, as opposed to people who were trying to scam the government.
Right, right. What happens with, you may not know about this, and that's okay. If you don't, I don't expect you to know everything, but you see a lot of this stuff about the reverse mortgages and things like that to help people in their golden years, and the, they get to stay in their house, and they get to keep living in their home until their demise, and then the surviving mate lives in the house until their demise, and then the house goes back to the bank. Now, what happens if all that? What happens if somebody's living like that and their house, they've done a reversal mortgage and they really have no cash flow, and that's why they did the reversal mortgage, but it gave them a little bit of a nest egg? Are they considered indigent, or are they considered fine, doing fine?
Medicare allows, Medicaid allows you to have a home. So you can have a home. The arrangement, the ownership arrangement with the reverse mortgage, I wouldn't get into that, but typically it's a circumstance where you have the right to stay in the home. But I don't know about the legal ownership, because you don't have the right to sell it, I don't believe.
No, you don't. You don't. Well, because that's what you've already done. You've sold it back to the bank and hopefully, gained some cash. Mm-hmm.
The other side of that is that many people that are doing a reverse mortgage are getting money.
Yeah.
And when you get money, that's an asset.
Mm-hmm.
And if your assets are at a certain level, then you can't qualify for Medicaid. You have an asset level, and you have an income, an ongoing monthly income level.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I would not be the one to give advice about reverse mortgages or Medicaid qualification, but I can certainly direct people to places to get the information.
I don't think we need to do that. I think you've answered the questions that I think would come up in most cases. It's pretty, it appears to be pretty black and white. If they stay in their home and they would like to do a reverse mortgage so they had some cash flow so they could do vacations and stuff like that, they're going to give up the opportunity to collect Medicaid, which they should be able to give up that opportunity.
Right.
If they stay in their home and they don't have a lot of cash flow, but they do have their home, then Medicaid looks at them in a different way. Am I right?
If you have, again, I won't go into the specific asset levels.
Right,
but Medicaid
right.
Medicaid has asset limitations and income limitations. So you have to qualify by not having assets beyond that threshold, and you have to qualify by having income less than the threshold.
Right, but when we're talking about where they reside, the home that they reside in, so are you telling me if it's a $3 million home, they wouldn't be eligible? If it's a $100,000 home, then they're probably fine? Is that kind of what you're saying?
No. Medicaid allows everyone to have a home. And they also allow you to have an automobile.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it doesn't matter.
Now remember, Rudy, some people have automobiles that are worth hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, right.
It's still an automobile. It may not be like yours or mine.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people who do. I mean, if we look around South Florida, there are plenty of Bentleys and Rolls Royces and Lamborghinis.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and I've been told that there are people who are on Medicaid who do have very expensive automobiles.
Mm-hmm. And probably fancy homes to go with it. So that's interesting. That's interesting that that works that way. But I guess you can't break everything into little tiny pieces. Pretty soon we have a whole town of Legos here, and it won't work like that. So I guess I understand that. Now, Part D is prescription drug coverage. Now, how do you get Part D?
Well, you apply for that through an insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a Medicare supplement, a Medigap policy, typically
mm-hmm.
they do not cover drugs, so you would purchase a separate prescription drug policy. If
mm-hmm.
you have an Advantage plan, many, if not most of the Advantage plans include prescription drug coverage as
mm-hmm.
part of the package.
I see. Mm-hmm. Well, because it would seem like I know a lot of people in their late 60s who have been for most of their life on diabetes medicine or high blood pressure medicine. And I know firsthand with everything that's been going on with my husband, testosterone, which is something that they like to hand out to men the minute they start getting older and they're worried about their energy level and it has something to do with how their organs work. Testosterone is $400 a pop.
It gets to be expensive, and along those lines, I don't want to complicate things, but if you have a Medicare supplement, a Medigap policy that you pay for,
mm-hmm.
and you choose not to have a prescription drug plan, then when you do decide to have a prescription drug plan at whatever point you do, you pay a penalty, and the penalty accumulates every month, every year. So
mm-hmm.
that people who turn 65 and say, well, they don't need any, they're in good health, they don't need anything, if they don't take out a prescription drug plan, when they decide to take one out, whether it's 2 years, 3 years, or 10 years, they're going to have an accumulated penalty for what they pay for that kind of a plan. And that's mandated by the government.
Wow. Yeah. Because you've been doing this for so long, you probably don't realize how confusing all this is trying to keep this all straight.
I know that there are so many people who are confused, and again, you hear one person say one thing and one person say something else, and that's why I say it's a good idea to at least go through the handbook, you know, gently, and
mm-hmm.
find someone that you can ask some questions.
Do you know anybody? I mean, I got invited to a bunch of these things, but do you know anybody who does something like this on a real light note, you know, like a seminar or something where they just explain things and answer questions? Are there any of these groups out there that do things like that for people who are really confused and who don't want to commit to any individual or individual company? They just want all the information. I'm looking through the book that you're talking about, some of it I understand completely, and other parts of it I have like a million questions. So
what happens is that many companies do hold seminars or meetings. Typically, you'll hear more about those meetings during the annual open enrollment, which starts
mm-hmm.
in October.
Mm-hmm.
And then the problem with that is while there are very specific guidelines for those programs, obviously their intention is to sell their one particular product. Mm-hmm. So, so if you go to one, meeting, even though there are mandated limitations and there's a little bit of structure, their purpose is to sell their product.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm seeing. I mean, because I am approaching 65, of course, I'm getting all the mail, so I see a lot of that. So, but it seems like it would be of I don't know, just community interest. You've got Golden Lakes, and you've got Century Village, and you've got all these wonderful senior citizen kind of communities. I would think, of course, most of them are today are in their 80s. They're not 65. They're 85, a lot of them. So they've been collecting Medicare or Social Security or all of the above for a long time, so they don't have these kind of questions, I guess. Maybe the kind of place to do something like that would be more of an open forum where you have young people so that they have a little bit of an idea of what they have to prepare for. Maybe that would even be a smarter idea.
The other thing is, any time that you set up a meeting like that, there are certain guidelines that CMS has established as to what you can say and what you can't say, and it can be limited. And and of course, I am not the only independent person, but there are many independent people, so you can ask me about all of the various plans, and I can tell you give you an unbiased answer, so that you're directed towards those things that are more important to you.
Well, that's certainly the ideal situation. While I was preparing to have you on the show, I thought of some probably very simple questions. If you don't get some assistance with your Medicare in the Part B of it or do a Part C or any of these things, how do you choose your doctor? You just get on the phone and find somebody who takes Medicare?
You just pick a doctor, try to find somebody who's board certified, and go from there. Doctors, there are many doctors, I'll go so far as to say most physicians in South Florida anyway, accept Medicare because we have such a large population.
Well, that makes sense.
If you choose, there are people who have Medicare Part A and Part B and choose not to have anything else. And they're responsible for all the things that are not covered, as well as their prescription drugs and all of the other not covered items. And when they go to the doctor, they just pay.
Right. But, all right, now say they're in, I don't know, where my husband and I go frequently, where we're from, Ithaca, New York, and we go to the outskirts in the little towns, Newfield and West Danby and places like that, and say something happened to one of us and we needed to go to a doctor, is it a pretty sure bet that wherever we go they're going to accept the Medicare, even though they've never seen us before?
You never can assume such a thing. I wouldn't assume such a thing.
Okay.
And so
what about the hospital, Barry? What if you went up to the hospital? A few years ago, I was up there and I slid in the ice and sprained my ankle, and I had a heck of a time just getting them to look at my insurance, let alone accept Medicare or anything.
I won't say all hospitals, but most hospitals accept Medicare Part A, and they're well versed. They know what Medicare pays and doesn't pay because that's how they set their billing. But again, if you don't have any other If you don't have a supplemental plan or you don't have an advantage plan, they're going to charge as much as they can. I hate
right.
to say it that way, but that's what they do.
Well, isn't that a shame, though, that there is not some kind of a cap or something on that, because that just doesn't seem, first of all, nice, and second of all, very fair. So back to the question that I asked you a couple minutes ago. What if, now, in my position at Hippocrates, there were many times when I had to bring hospice in. And sometimes I brought hospice in for people who were from a long ways away, and there was no way I was going to get them home. And I would get them hospice care, either keep them at Hippocrates or let them be taken to hospice, depending on the scenario. I do remember a couple different times having some of the people at hospice come to me and ask me about insurance or ask me about Medicare. Do you know anything about that, Barry? Do you know if hospice will accept Medicare? I know hospice turns no one away. I know that. But if there is Medicare, are they in a position where they can collect some of the Medicare benefits?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
The simple, easy answer is yes. Hospice
okay.
is covered.
Okay.
But again... You know, I just recently had a case, a client of mine has leukemia, and he has not received a terminal diagnosis, but they were able to get hospice care for him, because there are instances where people are eligible for hospice care and they don't have a terminal diagnosis. I know most of us always think, when we say hospice, we always think that, you know, that we're talking about terminal illness. But there are instances where people do not have a terminal diagnosis and still can qualify for hospice care.
Right.
I won't say that that's real common, but because it just came up with the... an older client of mine who was a very courageous man, and I was surprised at the diagnosis.
Well, I know firsthand, the first couple times that I negotiated this with hospice, I had to fight a little bit, but they helped me a lot with wound care. And again, the diagnosis, the prognosis was not really doom and gloom right away. Obviously, it was eventually going to happen, which it is to all of us. But they helped me on several occasions with people with severe MRSA, with things like breast cancer, where wounds were open and things like that, because I couldn't send people away once they had come all the way to West Palm Beach from sometimes other countries, and I just felt that it was our responsibility, and hospice helped me on many occasions. That's why when I left my position, I became a volunteer at hospice, because I have so much respect for them. But these prognoses were not... I know that the rules say that you have had to have a prognosis of... only so much time left, and they did help me with some of those other things, those that were really awful, and they were wonderful. So I do know that they have some flexibility, because they're dealing with people's lives, and of course flexibility is imperative.
And you know, Rini, you can also have a circumstance where someone is in a very critical way and receiving hospice care, and through maybe even through some kind of a miracle, they recover.
Exactly. Well, I've had people come to Hippocrates from a hospice, get get to a better place. I saw many, many miracles, and that's why I believe in if you are not ready to go, keep fighting. If you stand up and keep fighting, it's amazing what you can do. So I agree with you there. And I, like I say, I have had, I was at Hippocrates for 10 years, and I saw many people come straight from hospice and come to Hippocrates and do the program and get themselves, first of all, a better quality of life and buy themselves some time, if that's really what they wanted.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, Barry, you meet somebody and they've had it. They've suffered enough, they've tried hard enough, and they're ready to say goodbye. And then that can be a beautiful thing as well. And I have tremendous respect for that as well. Being able to say goodbye to somebody and let them let go is another thing that hospice is really has really got down to a science and does it very, very nicely and very beautifully. So I think you've answered all my questions about Social Security, and I do thank you. I'm disappointed that we didn't get any call-ins, but my guess is I will get people asking me stuff when I get off the show tonight and go to my Facebook page or my emails. But I do want to talk about something that I think will lighten everybody's hearts a little bit, and that is your grandson.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm going to read this just to, like, put everything into perspective, and then I'm going to have you tell us a little bit about this young man. Garrett, how do you say your last name?
Hollive, like an olive with an H in front of it.
Oh, okay. Gary Hollive may have Down syndrome, but he has the heart of a lion. That sentence in itself speaks volumes. I was honored to be able to interview one of the finest men I've ever met in martial arts community. 23-year-old Garrett Hollive, who fights out of AT&T Weston/Davie. You see, Garrett has Down syndrome, as well as rheumatoid arthritis in his knee. As I walked in to do my 4:30 interview, this proud man was training another patron who also has Down syndrome. Yes, you just read that right. He was training another person who has been coming in regularly to learn some self-defense. This man spoke about pride and passion in learning the skills necessary to compete as a fighter. Just last month, through kindness and generosity, Garrett was flown to Las Vegas by UFC veteran Stephen Bonar to attend martial arts events there, and even had a local Florida exhibition fight, wow, which can be seen on YouTube against Mike Monster Wilson, a true class gentleman in his own right for stepping up to give Garrett his dream of having a walk out to a fight and going three rounds. Last week in Las Vegas at the MMA Expo, before UFC 162, Garrett was invited to attend courtesy of his sponsor, Head Rush Apparel. They have been very kind to him in terms of apparel and the walkout t-shirt he will be using for his upcoming real fight on August 3rd, 2013 in Immokalee here in Florida. I've never known how to say that name.
Immokalee.
He also got Immokalee here in Florida. That's up, isn't that near Orlando?
It's actually in the middle of nowhere, he had the exhibition there about a year or so ago. And I couldn't believe that they had a casino in the middle of nowhere. And I asked how that came about, but evidently they bus people from Naples and from all over. But it's a small casino, small version of, you know, places that we have, like the Seminole place and the Hard Rock and so on. And
wow.
They did put on fights and other things, and so this will be the next month. This will be the second time that Garrett is there to fight.
And, it's a beautiful thing, and there's kind of an action shot of him in this article, and I know, like I just said about people who have been told that they're dying, some of us have got amazing courage and fortitude and an inner core of strength that other people don't even understand, and obviously that's where this young man is at. He's been able to watch other fights, and he signed over 500 autographs and was stopped by a lot of people outside the booth. His opponent for the upcoming fight suffers from cerebral palsy effects and is a, this doesn't mean much to me, Muay Thai fighter.
Right, right. That's a form, that's one of the disciplines of mixed martial arts.
They have
several different disciplines. People are familiar with karate and judo and so on.
Right.
There are other disciplines that have other rules, and it's something that's quite different from old fashioned boxing. And I'm always asked by the reporters that interviewed him. And other people have asked me repeatedly how I feel about him being involved in something, you know, that's so dangerous and et cetera. And I say that I know that people have been killed in fishing tournaments.
That's right.
And there are people who are crippled playing baseball or football. So
every
activity has its own element of danger. And in Garrett's case, and I would encourage anybody that wants to find out to go to garrettsfight.org, and there's a replay of the interview that ESPN did. And the background is that 2 years ago, approximately, when he decided to take up my son's challenge to get involved, and he was the only one of my three grandsons that was willing to do it, he started to train himself and changed his diet, and he lost initially 40 pounds. He's lost over 50 pounds, as well as getting into shape, and through that discipline, became just a total wonder. He amazes everyone, and he does do instruction at the gym of other kids, the other little normal kids, quote normal. They mm-hmm. love him, and it's something special.
Well, it's an inner strength. It's they always say, you know, if you're born without one of your something that we're all supposed to have, whether it's sight or mobility or hearing or whatever it is, or even taste, you develop all the other things to a greater strength. And I think I've met people like your Garrett in my lifetime. Right now I have a steady listener to the radio show, John Radke, who was born with, more than anything else, a problem with his speech. And he's a amazing photographer, and he's a coach for a lot of boys' ball teams, football and almost every kind of sport. He helps with the boys and everything. He's just wonderful, and he was a big advocate of support for my grandson when my grandson got hurt. He's a wonderful young man, and yet he got bullied all of his life, and he had to figure out a way and had to stand on his own two feet and make things livable for himself. And that is indeed what he's done, and he's won several awards for his pictures. So I think that this is a beautiful, beautiful life story, and it just shows everybody what you can do if you have a mind to, and if you really try. I guess that Garrett's fight when he fights the young man with what was it? His
cerebral palsy.
The writer of this article says, "God bless both of them and the fans that will be witness to this amazing event." And it talks about that, and it talks about the GarrettsFight.org. I suggest to all of you, if you need something uplifting, and if you're feeling like you are just sick and tired of being sick and tired, maybe you need to look at a story like this and come to the realization that it could be easier than you think if a young man can overcome the things that Garrett has overcome and brought himself to such a high level. What are you capable of doing? And I think that we all need to remember that, no matter how old we are or who we are, that it's about what you put into something as to what you get out of it. And I, when I told some of my friends about this young man, everybody has asked me about the site, and I've given out the name to the site on several occasions. So I think a lot of people have gotten a lot of morale boosting from this. So maybe you could share that with Garrett. And I would love, when the time is right, maybe after he does this big fight, because I'm sure he's preparing for that, maybe he could talk on the show one night. Do you think he'd do that, Barry?
I'm sure. And when he does interviews, with my son, because his articulation is not perfect. That's one of the effects of Down syndrome. The palate isn't formed exactly correct, and so phonetic articulation gets to be a problem. But I'm sure we can arrange that.
That would be wonderful. That would really be wonderful, because, you know, I always think the whole reason I do this show is to, I always think about somebody sitting all by themselves and feeling like they got nobody to talk to and nobody to, you know, I don't know, nobody that it seems like they're aware that they might be going through something. And every time I get to share something of a story like this and let everybody know the success rate of those that really give it their, you know, their heart and soul, then I think it gives some of these people that are suffering in silence the initiative to give it a shot, you know, and giving it a shot is what's important. You don't get anywhere if you don't start moving there. So
absolutely.
So I think that that would be awesome if we could do that. Do you have anything else to add about Garrett or about the Social Security information? I so thank you. You've been a wealth of information tonight. I'm very pleased that I had the opportunity to meet with you and have met you. I think I have a little bit of an idea where Garrett gets a lot of his stamina from.
Well, I'll be happy to help answer questions or direct people to the places where you can get answers. So you can keep me as a resource, Renee.
Okay. I appreciate that totally. And hopefully we'll stay in touch, and hopefully soon, I think after the fight, because I would guess that all of his energy is going into that right now, and if that's in the beginning of August, then maybe in the middle of August he'd be willing to make a date with us and at least give everybody a little bit of understanding about how it is to raise yourself up and support yourself well enough so that you can do anything that you try to do, because that's a really, really, really wonderful message to send out there.
Well, I certainly will bring it up to him.
Okay. Well, right. I want to thank you, and we will stay in touch. Thank you for helping me personally with my situation. I appreciate it, and I will speak with you soon. Thank you so much.
Okay, Rena. Thank you. Have a nice evening.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, everybody, there's only a few minutes left of the show tonight. I think that was wonderful having Barry on and answer so many questions. Maybe I'm the only one, but it was really confusing me. I didn't know, have any idea. I thought when you got Medicare, you just got Medicare and everything was going to be free from there on out. Of course, that's my naive Irish, thought waves, I guess. But I got it now, by God, and I think I know what I'm doing, at least partway. And I can thank Barry for that. And I hope I helped some of you by bringing Barry on tonight to set some things straight. And there are some opportunities out there. I didn't want to put him on the line, but he, you know, he's very knowledgeable, and he, you know, he helped me make some decisions. So when the time is right for all of you to make those decisions, there are people out there that are willing to help you. You just have to seek them out and get some ideas on what will work best for you. And it's not cookie cutter, just like everything else in this life. What will fit me won't fit you, and vice versa. So there are choices to make, and there are decisions to make. And in order to make decisions and choices, you need to be educated about all of this. So good luck with it for any of you that are out there reaching this time in your life. I think it can be a beautiful time, and mine is working out very nicely. I would like to let everybody know that those of you that have been following along in regard to my son, Michael, he is facing a rather, I'm not going to say dangerous because I don't want to put that out there, but it's rather an intricate surgery. Because now, along with the trachea, they've decided that he needs to have his cervical spine fused because it's not strong enough to withstand the other surgery. So it will be a double surgery at the same time is what they are planning at this point in time. So for any of you out there who love me and love mine, please say some prayers and send some good energy our way. I appreciate it. I know that he'll be fine because I just know that he will be. And I just would like it to be as quick and efficient and easy on him as it can possibly be. And to the rest of his family. I think that they have been through plenty already. And I also would like to mention that tomorrow night we will have Izzy Kalman on. And talk some more about bullying. We talked last week pretty extensively about his plan of turning things around and the fact that he is he has a success rate of about 90%. And he tells me that in a lot of cases, psychiatrists don't believe in doing things the way I do them, which is bringing people into the room and having a talk with them and letting it, you know, air their differences with the mediator and come to a better conclusion. And personally, I have had great success with that as well. I am not the the man that Izzy Kalman is, but I'm not too bad at what I do either. And I'm pretty good at getting people to understand the other person's point of view. And I think that's what's important when we're trying to learn how to get along with each other, is respecting someone else's opinion and someone else's point of view and being able to adjust it, so adjust ourselves so that that's okay with us. It doesn't have to be your point of view, and it doesn't have to be your solution, but they have the right to their decision, as do you. And I think sometimes we just need to be reminded of that. So all in all, I enjoyed tonight's show, and I hope you did too. And I will have Garrett on as soon as he finishes his fight. And if you do get the chance to get online and go to garrettsfight.org and have a look at this young man, and maybe he'll be the incentive that you need to make some changes in your own life. It never hurts to reevaluate how you're doing things and see what you can do to make it better. So from my heart to yours, everybody, this is Renee saying good night and God bless. And I Hope you're with me tomorrow night. Good night, everyone.